Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something I know many of you grapple with, those ancestry hints. The shaky leaves.
Ah, yes, the leaves. They can be exciting, but boy, can they pile up.
Exactly. You log in and bam, hundreds, maybe thousands staring back. It can feel, well, a bit much. That feeling of being overwhelmed. You're definitely not alone there.
It's super common. You get that initial thrill like, ooh, a discovery. But then the sheer number just hits you.
Right. It's like ancestry just throws everything potentially related at you. Not always helpful when you're trying to focus.
Not the most efficient path sometimes.
So that's our mission for this deep dive.
Yeah.
Giving you some practical tips, some tricks, really, to get a handle on those hints.
Yeah, to make them work for you again instead of feeling like you're buried under them.
Let's make them a tool, not an avalanche. We want you to feel in control. Make your research more focused, maybe less stressful.
Sounds like a plan, moving from just reacting to, you know, proactively guiding things.
Okay, let's dive in. Tip number one. It sounds almost too simple, but trust me, it helps with that overwhelmed feeling.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Ignore the numbers. Don't feel you have to deal with that big red number staring at you.
The notification count.
Mm.
It's funny how those little numbers can, like, hijack our brains, isn't it? We're so trained to clear notifications.
Totally. You see 150 new hints and think, oh gosh, I need to look at all of these right now.
Right, that sense of urgency.
But here's the trick. Just click the leaf icon itself. Poof, the number disappears.
And crucially, clicking the icon doesn't delete the hints themselves.
No, not at all.
They're still there, waiting in the background for when you are ready. It just removes that visual pressure, that notification anxiety.
Exactly. It's such a small thing, but it gives you back control. You decide when to engage, not the number.
Yeah, it lets you breathe.
Right. So once you've ignored the big scary number, where do you actually start? That brings us to tip two. Focus your approach.
Cultivate focus. This makes sense because, you've probably noticed, ancestry tends to generate more hints for people you're actively working on.
Oh yeah, definitely. You poke around one branch, and suddenly, it's Leaf City for that ancestor.
That's the algorithm doing its thing. It sees activity, sees data matches, and thinks, here, have more.
Which is great in theory, but again, can lead to overwhelm or going off track.
So the advice here is, resist that urge to jump between hints all over your tree.
Instead,
pick the ancestor you're actually researching right now. Go to their profile page.
Okay, yeah.
And on their profile, there's that hints tab. Click that.
So you only see hints for that specific person.
Exactly. It filters out all the noise from Great Aunt Mildred's second husband's cousin, you know.
Yes. Keeps you focused on the task at hand. Much less chance of falling down those genealogy rabbit holes.
Precisely. Reduces distraction, keeps you on target.
Okay, so ignore the numbers. Focus on one person. Now, tip three is maybe the most critical one. Don't just blindly accept hints.
Oh, absolutely crucial. This is where people can get into trouble. Remember, these hints are just suggestions.
Algorithms guessing, basically.
Right. They are not guaranteed facts. They haven't been verified by a human, usually.
And accepting them without checking. Big risk. You could easily add the wrong information, attach the wrong person's record.
Or even worse, merge two completely different people just because a hint suggested it. That can really mess up your tree.
So the message is, review. Click on the hint, look at the actual record it points to.
Yes. Examine the details, names, dates, places, relationships. Does it really match your ancestor? Does it make sense with what you already know?
Think of the hint as a clue, not a conclusion. You're the detective who has to verify it.
Well put. Evaluate the evidence.
Okay, tip four is about getting a bit more granular. Filtering hints. Some people find this really useful.
Right. You can filter by record collection. Yeah. Ancestry groups records, you know, census, vital records, immigration.
So you can say, just show me hints from, say, census records.
Exactly. If you're specifically looking for someone in the 1920 census, for example, you can filter to just see those types of hints. It can narrow things down.
Randy Seaver on Genia Musings talks about this kind of approach. It's not for everyone, maybe, but it's an option.
Different strokes for different folks, definitely. Worth knowing it's there if you want that level of control.
Now, something that drives people nuts, and we heard about this from folks like Cindy, Patsy, Carolyn, Ron, Lisa, Donald. Repeat hints.
Ugh, yes. Or hints for things you already put in your tree.
Like a photo you uploaded yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I getting a hint for my own photo?
Yeah, that happens. Sometimes it's because the same record exists in multiple ancestry collections.
Or a
photo might be on several member trees, maybe even your own public and private tree. Jean McKinnon Mead had a neat tip for photos, though.
Oh, what's that?
She suggested adding something like photo held by your name in the photo description.
Smart. Just to clarify ownership when that hint pops up.
Yeah, helps avoid confusion.
Okay, tip six. This one, suggested by Eric Stoltz, can be a real game changer for some people. Filtering out member trees altogether.
Ah, yes. In your site preferences, you can choose to exclude ancestry member trees from your hints.
And that can drastically cut down the number of hints you see, right?
Oh, significantly.
Yeah.
Especially if you primarily want to focus on original records rather than other people's potentially unsourced research.
Because let's be honest, while member trees can offer clues, they can also contain errors that just get copied around.
That's the risk. But it's worth saying excluding them from hints doesn't mean you can't still search them separately.
Good point. If you're stuck on a new line, searching member trees manually can still be a valuable starting point.
Exactly. It's about controlling the automatic suggestions you get.
Okay, tip seven. This one comes up a lot too, mentioned by David and Charlie Poole. Hints for people you're not, like, actively researching right now.
Spouses, in-laws, the parents of in-laws. Once they're connected in your tree, Ancestry will start suggesting things for them too.
Which is fine. But if your focus is firmly on your direct paternal line, seeing hints for your mother-in-law's parents can feel tangential.
Yeah, distracting. David had a blunt suggestion. Kill off hints for the parents of the in-laws.
Huh, I get the sentiment. Can you actually do that?
Unfortunately, no. As Charlie pointed out, there isn't currently a way to just switch off hints for one specific person in your tree.
Hmm. Feature request for Ancestry, maybe?
Definitely one many users would like.
All right, last tip, number eight. Recognizing and, frankly, ignoring hints that just aren't very helpful.
Sometimes a hint pops up, but the information it offers is, well, less detailed than what you already have.
Diane Scannell gave a perfect example. Her record says San Antonio, Bixar, TXUSA, and the hint just offers Bixar County, Texas.
Right. It doesn't add anything new. In fact, it offers less information.
In cases like that, don't feel obligated to investigate or even formally ignore it through the system. Just move on.
Exactly. It's okay to mentally dismiss it. Be efficient with your time. Focus on hints that might actually add value.
Okay. Wow. That was a lot, but hopefully really useful. Let's quickly recap the main strategies.
Sure. We talked about ignoring the notification numbers to reduce anxiety.
Focusing your research on one ancestor at a time, using their profile's hint tab.
Crucially, always reviewing the actual record behind a hint before accepting it. Don't just click yes.
Using filters, if you like filtering by collection, or the big one, filtering out member trees via site preferences.
Understanding why you get duplicate hints and the tip about labeling your photos.
Dealing with hints for tangential relatives you're not focused on right now.
And finally, feeling empowered to simply ignore hints that don't offer any new or useful information.
The main takeaway, really, is that you are in charge of your research, not the hints algorithm.
Absolutely. Taking control of the hints process can make your genealogy journey feel less overwhelming, more focused, and honestly, more productive.
It transforms hints back into what they should be. Potential leads, not a giant to-do list.
So here's a final thought to leave you with. Try these things out. See which combination of these tips works best for your style, your goals.
Yeah, experiment a little.
Because getting comfortable with managing these hints, that's a really key step towards making those deeper, more exciting discoveries in your family history.